Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to Unresolved. I am your host, Michael Whelan, and this is a brief update on a story I covered about a year and a half ago, that of the mysterious Long Island serial killer. If you have not listened to that series yet, I highly encourage you to do just that. This update will probably make very little sense without the context, especially the first episode of that series. Shannon Gilbert, a 24-year-old sex worker that went missing in May of 2010, was the catalyst for an investigation that would unearth almost a dozen bodies along Long Island's Gilgo Beach. While she has never been officially tied to the crime spree perpetrated by this unknown killer, or killers, her family has continuously petitioned for her to be treated as such. After all, when Shannon's remains were finally found in December of 2011, 19 months after her initial disappearance, police were unable to find a simple cause of death. Her death was ruled as being from misadventure, which I am not making up, that was on the official reports by the Suffolk County Medical Examiner. Her cause of death is ruled as being, quote, undetermined. Representatives of Shannon, namely her mother Mary and their family attorney, John Ray, have constantly petitioned for the case to be treated as a murder investigation. They hired noted forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Baden to conduct an independent autopsy in 2014. And he noted several different things the initial autopsy had glossed over, namely the fact that Shannon's body was found face up, indicating that drowning in one of the Gilgo Beach marshes was not likely, and that her hyoid bone had been damaged. That is usually only found in cases of strangulation, which again would go against what the initial autopsy seemed to indicate. Despite Mary Gilbert's untimely demise in 2016, the family has carried on this fight, hoping to get a new set of eyes upon the case file of Shannon Gilbert. Over the years, there has been a lot of turnover in the Suffolk County Police Department, drama that I tried to summarize in part 3 of my original series about the Long Island serial killer. Then Police Chief James Burke and then District Attorney Thomas Spoda have both left their positions and gotten into some legal hot water, which I'll try to detail very shortly. Their absence in the law enforcement community of Suffolk County means that a new administration has come in, and the Gilbert family had remained hopeful that this would mean Shannon's mysterious death would get a second look. One of the main things that the family has been fighting for is for a recording of Shannon's 911 phone call with police dispatchers, from the night she disappeared, to be released to the court. After all, police have given no indication that they are investigating Shannon Gilbert's death as a homicide, so what harm could it do? On the night she disappeared, May 1st of 2010, Shannon Gilbert ran from the home of her client. That client, Joseph Brewer, has long insisted that he had nothing to do with her death. His claim, aided by the testimony of Shannon's driver, Michael Pack, is that Shannon ran out of his home in a psychotic state, created by her allegedly untreated bipolar disorder and the addition of illegal narcotics into her bloodstream. The 23-minute phone call with police dispatchers, recorded by Suffolk County, would go a long way to either proving or disproving certain allegations. There are so many possibilities for something to be learned in those 23 minutes, but Suffolk County have constantly refused to release the recording. Here is a local News 12 broadcast from a couple of weeks ago.
I want to see, on behalf of the family of
Shannon Gilbert, the tapes, the actual tapes.
But after a 2-year court battle, the family of Shannon Gilbert has yet to see the 911 tapes made by Gilbert on the night of her disappearance in May of 2010. As News 12 has reported extensively, Gilbert, a 24-year-old sex worker, was reported missing in 2010 from the Oak Beach home of Joseph Brewer, her last client. Police were searching for her when they found the remains of 10 murder victims along Ocean Parkway. Police say her official cause of death is undetermined, but her family believes she was murdered, and the 911 tapes may advance their case. John Ray is the Gilbert family's attorney.
I'm very frustrated at what's happening because the county has had these tapes since 2011, and they've done nothing. Nothing whatsoever with those tapes to advance this case whatsoever.
Today, Suffolk police were expected to produce the transcript of the 911 call made by Gilbert, in which she reportedly told a 911 operator, quote, "They're trying to kill me." But the attorney for Suffolk police told the judge a transcript of the 911 call didn't exist. The judge ordered Suffolk police to turn over the tapes at the next hearing. Ray says this marks the third time the county has stonewalled on the tapes, leading him to believe they were tampered with or destroyed under then-police chief James Burke. Burke is serving 35 months in federal prison for beating a handcuffed man in an unrelated case and then covering it up.
Keep in mind that Chief of Police Burke was in charge of that investigation almost immediately after it was launched once Shannon Gilbert's body had been found. There's a really strong chance in my mind that this investigation was hampered, was in some way impeded, and we're going to get to the bottom of it now, slowly by slowly, but surely we're going to get to the bottom of it.
And the judge has given the attorney for Suffolk Police until Monday to produce the tapes in court or provide an explanation why it can't be done.
That clip was from March 19th, over 2 weeks ago. The deadline for Suffolk County to release the tapes to the court has since come and gone, and there has been no further update, leading me to believe only one thing. That the recording has not been handed over, and it likely never will be. County Attorney Elaine Baraga has told the court that the 23-minute phone call between Shannon Gilbert and the police dispatchers she was speaking to in the early morning hours of May 1st, 2010, is part of an ongoing criminal investigation. However, this comes from the same police department that has refused to state whether they are investigating Shannon Gilbert's death as a homicide, and has her death officially ruled as undetermined. So, which is it? Is there an active criminal investigation or not? This is doubly infuriating to the family of Shannon Gilbert, who have had to deal with this turnaround from the police department since her initial disappearance nearly 8 years ago. In one breath, the police department responsible for investigating the death of their 24-year-old loved one have stated that her death was an accident, and in the next breath, state that there is an ongoing investigation which they don't want to damage. I will use a quote from a Reddit user named Case Acquaint, who put many of my thoughts about this development into a very eloquent summation. Quote, "I support maintaining the integrity of investigations, if the investigations have actual integrity. The problem is, how can we as the public be assured of the integrity of an investigation? If they make no progress, don't share what they have done, cut off contact with the loved ones of the victim, who do they answer to? This is a question we as citizens must someday expect to have answered by tighter regulation of these investigators." That's a very good point that I wanted to address, because Suffolk County refusing to release a police recording from nearly a decade ago, regarding a case that they haven't even stated they're openly investigating, goes against what we, as the public, should expect from law enforcement. I don't really have any thoughts one way or the other, whether or not Shannon Gilbert's death was a murder, or whether there was a cover-up of any sorts. But with all of the recent drama surrounding Suffolk County law enforcement, it's really hard not to go there. A little over a month after I published my 3-episode series on the victims of the Long Island serial killer, authorities made a pretty startling revelation. They linked one set of unidentified skeletal remains from Jones Beach State Park, not too far away from the original 4 victims, the Lost Girls, to the dismembered remains of a Jane Doe known only as Peaches. Peaches, named for a unique tattoo located on her left breast, had been found in a wooded area of Hempstead Lake State Park in Lakeview, New York in June of 1997. Her remains had gone unidentified for almost 20 years, until DNA testing linked those remains to others found nearby Gilgo Beach in 2016. DNA testing also confirmed that this woman, Peaches, was the mother of the unnamed baby doe found on Long Island in 2011. This revelation, which carried the investigation back into the 1990s, also linked the possibility to another serial killer from inland New York. It's by no coincidence that authorities resurrected their interest in alleged serial killer John Bittrolf later in 2017, after he was convicted on 2 counts of murder. If you call back to my original 3-part series, I mentioned Bittrolf as a potential candidate for at least some of the crimes, considering the allegations regarding him dated back to the early 1990s. He also lived in the area of the crimes, in Manorville, New York, and had tentative ties to at least one of the 4 lost girls, Melissa Bartholomew. In July of 2017, Bittrolf was convicted to 2 consecutive 25 years to life sentences for the murders of Rita Tangredi and Colleen McNamee from 1993 and 1994, respectively. Immediately following this conviction, media began reaching out to Suffolk County for comment, but they refused to make any remarks about the active state of the investigation. However, they did change course to go on the record to make a comment about Bittrolf himself. Suffolk County District Attorney Prosecutor Robert Biancavilla stated, quote, "There are remains of the victims at Gilgo that may be attributed to the handiwork of Mr. Bittrolf, and that investigation is continuing." Many think that this statement by police may have been an attempt to indicate that there was some kind of movement going on behind the scenes in regards to the Long Island investigation. Other than this public statement, there has been very little word about where the investigation currently stands. In part 3 of my original series, I told you about the drama which had ensnared Suffolk County Police Chief James Burke and District Attorney Thomas Spoda. Burke, who had been Spoda's protege for most of his life, was embroiled in a personal scandal that had resulted in him being thrown out of his position and facing criminal charges. This all stemmed from a 2012 incident, in which an SUV belonging to James Burke was stolen by a criminal named Christopher Loeb. The SUV was full of weapons, ammunition, cigars, and a duffel bag full of sex toys and porn videos. Burke arrested Loeb, and then personally oversaw a vicious beating of the drug addict that landed him, the police chief of Suffolk County, on the radar of the FBI. This federal investigation uncovered a colossal bag of worms that had remained hidden for years. It reached back into the history of James Burke, discovering that he had gotten into trouble multiple times, and usually relied on the political maneuvering of District Attorney Thomas Spoda to get out of it. In November of 2016, Burke was sentenced to 46 months in federal prison for a litany of crimes, including violating a prisoner's civil rights and obstruction of justice. As if that wasn't enough, his mentor, District Attorney Thomas Spoda, was then indicted in October of 2017 for charges pertaining to obstruction of justice. He had apparently conspired with Burke and an aide of his to muddy the waters of the federal investigation into the corrupt police chief. Spoda resigned from his position on November 10th of 2017, and he has been facing federal charges in the months since. He has pled not guilty, alongside his aide, and is preparing for the legal battle to continue this month, in April. He has already used hundreds of thousands of dollars for his defense team, money accrued from his prior campaign fundraisers. You may be wondering why I'm telling you this. After all, the issues of former police chief James Burke and former district attorney Thomas Spoda don't really impact the ongoing police investigation, but I think they really showcase the issues that the family and loved ones have had to deal with in the years since. After all, Thomas Spoda was the main proponent of the theory that multiple killers were responsible for the bodies being found along Gilgo Beach. Perhaps this was due to him wanting to keep federal investigators away from the crime scene. If it happened to be the dumping ground of multiple killers, federal investigators would be less likely to get involved than if they learned that there was a single serial killer who had accrued dozens of victims without anyone noticing. Then, you have James Burke, the police chief who was responsible for overseeing the investigation into finding this unknown serial killer, or serial killers. If he had a personal connection to the location, or perhaps had an inclination to keep federal investigators out of his hair, it would make sense that he'd want to stonewall them at every possible turn. Well, in December of 2016, shortly after his conviction, a sex worker signed an affidavit claiming that she had personally been with James Burke at an unknown home on Oak Beach in Long Island multiple times, and that they had engaged in rough sex acts involving other sex workers, strangers, and illegal narcotics such as cocaine.
I'm a woman, I know when a man wants sex. So, I kind of took the cue and he kind of guided me to the bathroom.
A sex worker who goes by the name Leanne talks about an encounter she says she had with former Suffolk County Police Chief James Burke.
He began to get really aggressive, and he used the term that I was not a good whore.
She said she had two encounters with Burke in 2011 at sex and drug parties in Oak Beach, the town right next to Gilgo Beach, where the bodies of more than a dozen women, one man, and a toddler had been found starting 6 years ago.
That could have been my grave. There's a child who died. This is bigger than me.
And you've all heard many rumors about Chief Burke being involved, but nobody's been able to pin it down. Now, we have someone who comes forward, who has credibility, is willing to take a lie detector test.
Her attorney has sued Dr. Peter Hackett, who'd lived in Oak Beach, alleging he killed Shannon Gilbert. Hackett collapsed a year ago when personally confronted with the allegations. Now, says the attorney, evidence shows Burke and Hackett first met investigating the TWA Flight 800 crash 20 years ago, and their friendship grew.
When you take that and also combine it with his relationship, which we now know exists with Dr. Peter Hackett, it certainly puts him right at the center of the pool of suspects for the death of Shannon Gilbert.
I've had encounters with other Suffolk County police.
Because of that, they allege that the case of the Gilgo murders has dragged on for so many years unsolved.
It's very clear that they're hiding something. What I think, my personal opinion, is that they know who did it. They want to clear the case, but they can't clear the case without recusing themselves from any responsibility. And they're stuck.
Burke is in federal lockup after admitting earlier this year to brutally beating prisoner Chris Loeb. Burke's lawyer gave this statement, "These allegations do not warrant a comment."
Do I personally think that James Burke had anything to do with the bodies found along Gilgo Beach? In my own personal opinion, no. But for a police department that has discovered shockingly little in the years since nearly a dozen bodies were found, you would think that the blatantly unethical practices highlighted by James Burke and Suffolk County's own refusal to cooperate with court orders should be enough to keep the investigation out of their hands. I do hope that I could bring you a more thorough update in the coming weeks and months, but I just wanted to fill you all in on some of the drama that has been unfolding regarding this sprawling story from Long Island. If you can't tell, my voice is a bit froggy, and that's why it's been a couple of weeks since I last put out a full-length episode. However, I am hoping to have one out over the next few days, which is diving into a bit of an urban legend from the UK. It currently feels like I swallowed a piece of sandpaper, so fingers crossed. Stay tuned, everyone, and I hope to talk to you all again very, very soon.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.